Accession number 776.
Turco Stevens, Reel 1. Why did you join the army in the first place?
Because of lack of work, and might have been politically.
How do you mean politically?
Well, I had brothers in the service, and I thought I should go as well. I was young, but I thought I should go as well.
You're talking about volunteering in the First World War, you mean?
Yes.
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 So your brothers had volunteered as well, had they?
Yes.
And when you say lack of work, you mean lack of work in for farm labour in,
yes,
in Wiltshire?
Yes.
What was the reaction of your parents when you said you were going to join the army?
They wanted to get me out because I was underage.
How old were you?
I was 16 and a half.
Did your father succeed in getting you out?
No.
What did your friends think to you joining the army?
Oh, they didn't mind at all.
They thought it was a good idea.
Yes.
After you'd been in the First World War, you were demobbed in 1919.
Yes.
And then you decided to rejoin. Why was it that you decided to rejoin?
Because a shortage of work.
Did you do a job after you'd been demobbed?
I started as a window cleaner with my husband, with my uncle. And not a great success, I'm afraid.
And which unit did you join when you rejoined?
The Royal Garrison Artillery. And that was medium artillery.
Had you been in the artillery in the First World War?
No, I was with the infantry, the Wilts regiments, and later with the Devons.
Well, why did you decide to join the artillery when you rejoined?
Because I didn't like a change from infantry to the gunnery.
When you were posted to India, were you posted to India straight away on rejoining?
Yeah, I first of all went for training to Lydd in Kent. And then I went from Lydd in Kent with a brigade of artillery to India.
Which year was that?
That was in 1919, early November.
Did you expect to be posted to India?
Well, it's just one of those things, you see. You have to go where your unit is posted, don't you?
So you didn't actually ask to be posted to
India? No, I didn't ask to be posted to India.
What was your reaction when they said that you were going to India?
Oh, as a matter of fact, I was expected to go to India during the war instead of going to France. And that would be in 1916, so I sort of relished the idea of going to India.
You did like the idea of it?
Oh, yes, I liked the idea.
Why did you like the idea of it?
Because I'm a bit of a wanderlust, I'm afraid.
Had you travelled before you went to India?
Oh, yes, from the time I started in the army, you see, I went to France, and then from France I went to Italy, and of course then I came back in early 1919, and of course it just gets in your blood, doesn't it?
What had you heard about life in India before you went?
Very little, as a matter of fact, with the exception that I had a brother there in 1911. My eldest brother was there in 1911, and I knew all about he told me that India was great, you see. And
was he in the army?
He was in the army. He was in the artillery. That was one of the reasons, I suppose, why I went into the artillery.
So your brother had been in the army in India, and he thought it was, it would, he'd given good reports of it.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Did you hear any discussion in the barracks from people who'd been to India in the army themselves? Before you went?
No.
Had you read anything about India?
No, I hadn't read anything about it. My old experiences, of course, were after I got out there, really.
When your brother said that it was great in India, what type of things did he think were great?
Well, he was in Delhi Fort with the artillery, and of course they used to go out for the viceroy's parades and those kind of things. And being a gunner, he thought it was great.
Did he tell you anything about life in the Indian army, in the army in India, as compared to life in the army in England?
Oh, he said that life in India with the army is better than serving in this country.
For what reason?
For the reason that the discipline in one thing and the other in this country was more severe than in India.
Did he give you any examples?
Well, no examples really. That he said that the life is so much different. See, I found that myself, that the training in this country, you were on training the old time in this country, and discipline was so great that out there you used to do your early morning parades and one thing and the other, and then you were off most of the time. You were playing sports and one thing and the other. The discipline was not there. Not so much discipline. Mind, discipline was there, but not so badly as would be in this country.
Didn't you have afternoons free?
Yes.
In the army in England?
No.
Did the army itself issue you with any information about India before you went there?
Oh, yes.
What did they tell
you? Yes, they always give you a leaflet, how you should, what you should do with regarding the different religions that you meet in India. You see that, for instance, you had to treat an Indian, you must never strike an Indian. You see, that was a severe, that was a court martial, to strike an Indian. And you were given a leaflet regarding the people's, their kind of life that they lead, and how you're expected to treat them.
And what about kitting out before you went? Were you issued with any special?
Yes, issued with the drill, khaki drill, and topi, and all light clothing.
So the khaki drill consisted of what clothes? Shorts.
Yes, shorts, slacks, and tunics, as you see I've got there in that photograph you saw. Yes, shirts, two suits of each. And then you were given a clothing allowance after that to keep it up.
Special underclothing?
No. You used to get your own.
How did you find the equipment when you got to India that you were issued with? Was it suitable?
Oh, yes. Because so many troops had been going to India and that, and everything was... It was a regular fit, you might say.
Were you issued with anything like mosquito nets?
Oh, yes. Yes, you were issued with a mosquito net, and that was issued, of course, out now, as soon as you got out now.
So you received some of the kit, actually, when you got there?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Did you take any extras out yourself? Can you remember?
No. No. No, nothing else.
Or did you make any other kind of preparations? Can you remember any other preparations that you made before you went out there?
No. No, nothing. Just went out as an ordinary gunner with the artillery.
Did the army give you any inoculations?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Can you remember what you were inoculated against?
Typhoid. Typhoid and vaccinations against smallpox.
Mm-hmm. You went out in 1919, you said. What was the name of the ship you went out on?
California, a P&O liner.
P&O liner, California. Mm-hmm. And had you made such a long voyage before?
No. No, not by sea.
What were conditions like on the ship?
Oh, the conditions on a troop ship, you were all over there, sleeping mostly on top deck. So there was any married families, of course, were the only ones that had berths, but had cabins and that. But troop decks, you were right down the bottom. You could be down the bottom with hammocks. You were issued with an hammock. But I always slept on top.
What did you sleep on?
Just used to draw the hammock and just lay the hammock down on the on top deck and lay on that.
I see.
Have a sack for a pillow.
Could you sleep all right?
Oh, sleep wonderful. Used to sleep wonderful.
What about seasickness?
No, I was never seasick. I was never seasick there.
Were the other soldiers seasick?
Very few. They used to get through the Mediterranean, they used to get a touch of it.
But not once you got past that?
No, no.
What was the food like on the ship?
Food, wonderful. Wonderful food.
What type of things did you have?
We used to have roast in there, and there was always some, what do they call that stuff, all the innards that they have.
Offals.
Yes, all offals. Yes, we used to do wonderfully well for food, and big chunks of beef. You used to have about 15 to 20 on a long table, and then they used to go down the galley. A couple used to go down the galley and bring it up, and then the two at the end served, and it was pushed all down the table.
Did you get bored on the journey?
No. Funnily enough, there's always something to be seen looking out to sea.
Did they lay anything on in the way of sports or on deck?
Boxing, and used to have boxing matches and all things like that. And then, of course, there was the old ousie-ousie, which they call bingo now. That was going, that'd be going all day long. And the...
Did you have any money to spend on it?
We used to get paid on... used to get paid on board. Oh, yeah.
How much did you get paid?
It was on seven shillings a week at that time. And then it was increased to 2 bob a day, which became 14 shillings a week.
When was it increased?
I think it was increased in about 1920.
Was it good pay compared to what people
Silly
Street
was? Oh, yeah. But the funny part about it was that, you see, a private soldier, he came in, he was getting 2 shillings a day, and then the older soldiers, we had them, was getting 4 shillings a day. It seems so unfair to have troops getting 4 shillings a day, who'd been serving some time, and then a young recruit comes in and he has 2 shillings. So it seems so very unfair.
So you thought that the younger one shouldn't get so much in comparison with the older one?
I think that the younger ones should have got more.
Oh, I see.
Because they were only getting the 2 shillings.
I see. Because they were doing the same work, you mean?
Yeah. They were doing the same work as the other.
Mm-hmm. And were there a lot of grumbles about that?
Oh, there was quite a number. Yes, quite a number.
Did they try to do anything about it, or did they just grumble?
Well, the soldier's privilege is over to grumble, isn't it?
But, I mean, you didn't approach... Did you approach the officers about it, or...?
No. Oh, no.
How long was the voyage?
3 weeks. 21 days, exactly.
And where did you land?
Bombay.
What was your first impression of India when you saw it, when you landed?
Well, we went up to Colaba. That's just near Bombay. Colaba, went up on the hill and then camped there on the canvas. But I just seemed to like it, I suppose.
What about when you were in Bombay Harbour? Were you excited at the thought of landing, or...?
I'm glad to get off. Just glad to get off it.
Well, because you'd the journey had become tedious.
It had, yeah.
Can you remember what you saw and when you... What were your first sights of when you were landing?
Well, outside, of course, you're in Bombay itself. It's a big town, isn't it? And that's clean in comparison with the country outside. The impressions were like you'd be in say, Southampton. It's similar to being in Southampton, for instance, with the exception that all the carriers and all the workmen and everything were of the black people. You see, they were all Indians.
But you mean the buildings and roads?
The buildings and the roads and that were all perfectly like English, and there were so many English people not around about, really, and so you meet so many of them.
Was it the first time you'd seen Indians? When you landed at Bombay?
Yes, that's the first time I'd seen them. But we'd seen, as you go through the Suez Canal, you see dark people and all of that, different coloured people, you see, as you go through the Suez Canal. And you call it various places. You see, you call in it Port Said. We called in it Port Said. And then you go down through the Suez Canal and then across the Indian Ocean, the Red Sea and the Indian Ocean, you see.
So when you saw the Indian people in Bombay for the first time, what was your impression of them? Was it what you'd expected?
Oh, yeah. To me, as I say, it seemed very much like going into Southampton Harbour and disembarking and then getting on the train and going into the country. See, the trains are actually at the dock. You get in as an old brigade, we got into trains and up the country.
So you went straight from Bombay Station by train to Colaba?
Yeah.
And you say, in Colaba, were you living in barracks or what?
No, in tents. In tents. Canvas, yeah.
And how long were you at Colaba?
Oh, only the day.
Just one day?
Just the one day, yeah. That's like a rest camp, you see. And then you're away to different parts of the country.
Where did you get your first training then?
My first training was my first training was at Jhansi.
So did you travel straight from Colaba to Jhansi?
Yeah.
By train?
By train, yeah.
How long did it take?
Oh, that's only just outside, not very far, let me see. Oh, not more than 30 miles. Not more than 30 miles.
And at Jhansi, you got your first training. Was it any special kind of training? Was it in mountain warfare? Or?
No. This was more or less in the United Provinces. This was just training. We were just training on battery drill. And then we weren't there only for about 3 weeks. And when we were posted, my battery was posted to Ferozepur. And in a fort at Ferozepur, where we had guns fixed up all around, you know, on the caponiers, as we call them.
Were you living in barracks in Jhansi?
Yes, they had barracks there, but they were more or less temporary barracks. They were another kind of a rest camp affair, see?
What about your training that you received at Jhansi? Do you think it was effective training?
It was. I was being trained as a battery signaller. That was sending message to, we say, the OP by flag or in the evening lamp. That was all my training was, a battery train signaller.
Do you think it was good training?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
So it was what you needed for later on?
Oh, yes, yeah.
In your training, with your battery training, could you tell me a bit more about it, about the type of equipment you were using?
Using the heliograph, lamps day and night, semaphore, and the Morse code generally with flag, small flag or large flag.
When you were training, did you have any kind of contact with the Indian Army?
Oh, yes. Yeah. We had the Indian Army was... let me see. Not so much the Indian Army at that time as training signals at this time. I was the battery signaler at that time. But later I got in touch with Indian signalers.
Which units were in the Indian Army were you in contact with?
Mostly Sikhs.
What did you think of them?
They were good. Yes, they were good, very, very good soldiers and good signalers. You see, these signalers, they not only had to pick up English language, but they had to be trained in the Morse code. They weren't very good operators sending Morse code on the telephone type of thing, but they were exceptionally good with flag and heliograph.
What were the relations like between the British Army and the Indian Army? Did they get on all right?
Good. Good. Always good. They were well disciplined. They had their own officers and their sergeant majors and appellers. The relations were good with the British.
A Havildar's an NCO.
An Havildar is an Indian sergeant.
I see. So there wasn't any rivalry or conflict?
Oh, no. A British officer would be in charge of the lot, you see. And, for instance, as a sergeant major myself, all the other ranks, even an officer, would sob me as a sergeant major. And I would sub an officer, but if it was an Avalder, I would call him an Avalder, and usually by name. Relations were very, very good, and they were very loyal.
How did an Indian officer address an English private?
Oh, he would call him Saab, and he would generally speak to me first if he wanted to speak to other ranks. An Indian officer, a subedar, or an Indian officer, they were gentlemen, you see, and any other ranks would solve them just the same. Would say subedar saab or something like that, you see, to them.
But if an Indian officer spoke to an English private, would he use saab then?
Oh yes, yeah.
To an English private?
Yeah, yeah. Oh yes, he would. They were all. An Indian officer, he was dealing with his own troops, particularly. It was very seldom he had to speak to, we'll say, a British soldier. See, that was left to people like ourselves, our own officers. But they would say to me, if they had a little bit of trouble, say, with an Indian rank and a British rank, which was very, very seldom, they might say, oh, come to me, and they say, Sergeant Major Saab, or so-and-so Saab has told Muhammad so-and-so servant. You see, something like that.
I see. Did you come across any other Indian soldiers except besides Sikhs?
Yeah, oh yes.
Did you come across Gurkhas or?
Oh yeah, yeah. We had a battalion of Gurkhas in Razmak camp itself.
What did you think of?
They're cat's whiskers. They're fine. They'll go up hills and that like rabbits. After tripping and whatnot. Oh, they're wonderful.
And other troops? Did you come across Madrasi regiments or
Indus?
Bengalis? Or?